Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning. Morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Grace Chapel out here at the Grace Ranch. Lord, we ask that you guide and direct the paths of those that are coming in to visit for this minister's convention, and likewise all of us that are here at the ranch and preparing for their arrival. Help us to complete everything that we have before us and get everybody here safely. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Over the last week, after last week's service, we were talking about, getting into the Word and knowing the Word. I took a step back and, I looked at myself and I saw that, I don't nearly know enough. I'm not solid on a lot of things that I should be, and boy, if I were in a battle, I'd be dead. But the fact of the matter is, we are in a battle. And it's a battle for our lives. We've got to know the Word of God in order to make it through. And as I've been, rededicating myself to study, I'm realizing, a lot of places where I fall short. And coming up on this convention, I want to be prepared to receive. I encourage all of you to also just take a little time and get alone and give yourself an honest assessment of where you are today, where you were a year ago, or yesterday for that matter, and where you want to be. And then move forward and get there. Amen?
We want to see Jesus lifted high. Amen and praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. You know, that sound the alarm. It's kind of apropos what the Lord's given me today. And been giving me for the last 40 years. And if you want to read it, go over to 1 Timothy in chapter 4. I've been preaching on this for years. For years and years and years and years. And it just seems that every year it becomes more important. For Paul, in his letter to Timothy, in telling him what he needs to do and to watch out for and how to behave himself as a minister, he gave Timothy a warning. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." This isn't Paul's opinion. This isn't his comeuppance. This is something that the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost expressly showed Paul and expressly told him to tell Timothy and to tell the rest of us. "That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We read where Jesus, when he was tempted in the desert, the first temptation that Satan brought to him was dealt with hunger. "You be the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread." The second temptation dealt with his pride. "You be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, he shall put his angels in charge over thee, lest you durst your foot upon a stone." The third temptation was lust, ownership, kingship, pride of life, where if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. There are three areas that Jesus was tempted in: the pride of life, lust of the flesh, and what was the third? Come on, one of you people. I know Ann knows it. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, and lust of the eyes. See, I knew you had it. Now I want you to look at this verse again. Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits are going to seduce you in one of those three areas. When Satan came to Eve, he tempted her in those three areas. The fruit looked good. She was hungry. Good to eat. It'd make you wise. You could become as God. Those three areas. If Eve was tempted in those three, Jesus was tempted in those three, what makes you think we're not tempted in those three? Every day. Every day we're tempted in those three. Every day we have to overcome it. Paul says that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, taking heed, paying attention to, listening to, following seducing spirits. And these seducing spirits use these three areas to cause you to go astray. And then it says doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils are false doctrines that support the seducing spirits. Oh, you know, a man comes to church, everybody praises the Lord and invites him in and welcomes him, accepts the Lord. Everybody praises the Lord. They welcome him into the fellowship. Then they find out This man had been divorced. All of a sudden, he's not welcome anymore. Why? Because the church fell into doctrines of devils. I got news for you. I've been to churches where you could be an axe murderer and be accepted better than if you had ever been divorced. It don't matter what you did before you accepted Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. Anything you did would have put you in hell. The fact that you hadn't accepted Jesus Christ would put you into hell, so it didn't matter. But once you become a Christian, all of that's gone. And yet Christians would rather believe that some sins are worse than others and they're better than these other people. Why? Because of pride of life. Or they'll look at the nicely dressed people and the pretty people and they'll treat them with favor. And then the other people they'll just kind of put up with. Lust of the eyes. They'll want to be important. You see preachers do it all the time. They got their little scorecards on the wall behind them. How many people came to church? How many people came to the altar? How much money was raised in church offering? How much was raised in Sunday school? Pride of life. See, that's their scorecard. If they can keep those numbers up, they keep their job. I pray to God that never will come the day that anything like that will be a part of the fisherman ministry. Some shall depart from the face. You know, it's not saying they'd leave church. The churches are full of people and ministers who have departed from the faith. The faith is Jesus Christ, Him crucified. The faith is that you are a sinner, you're born in sin, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. Your flesh is flesh, and it's cursed. It's under the curse, and it'll always be under the curse. From dust you came, from dust you'll go back to, because the flesh is cursed. But Jesus says, I got a way out for you. Now you can go and die with that flesh if you want to. And go to hell. But I've given you a way where you can get a new body. And have eternal life with me. That's the faith. And it's through faith and trust and belief on Jesus and what He did and what He's doing now. And not in what you do, but what He does. The only thing you can do is believe. That's the only thing you can take credit for. And even that you got to thank God for. Because if He doesn't give it to you to believe, you can't even believe. To exercise your will that He gave you. To exercise His will to believe. And exercise your will to believe. He's given you that free will, you use it. In latter times, some shall depart from the faith, taking heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I started preaching this in 1974. I preached it at all the revivals. I preached it wherever I went. And I've seen it become more and more and more prevalent today than I did when I started. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You read the rest. Paul continues the warning in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. See, God gave it Jesus. And Jesus showed us how to love others more than himself when he died on that cross. He gave his life up for us. No greater love than this as a man that he give up his life for a friend. No greater love. And every day we get the opportunity to practice that. We get the opportunity. Every one of you sitting out here, and those of you that are of this ministry listening over the internet, and those of you who listen and I have not met but maybe will meet someday, give me an opportunity to practice this. Because you know what? You're not always in a good mood. You don't always want to make me feel good. Sometimes you're more interested in making yourself feel good, like that little one back there. It's all about him. He just hasn't learned to be as sophisticated about it as you are. But with a little training, he'll learn. And I get an opportunity to love you more than myself. Do I always succeed? No. But I'm better today than I was yesterday. You know that country song we like? Not as good as I was, but I'm just as good once as I ever was. Well, in the world, that may be true with me, but in the spirit, I'm better than I once was. And I want to get better than that. In latter days, the perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Yeah, that's the big part. And now, if you want to understand these verses correctly, put a colon after that. Put a colon there. And when you put a colon there, then all of these other things are what makes up being a lover of your own self. See, you can read this with a comma. Well, I'm not that. Well, I'm not that. I'm not that. We'll forget about that one. I'm not that. But you put a colon there, and it should be there. When you put a colon there, if you are guilty of any of the things it says here, then you are a lover of your own self. You don't have to be guilty of all of them. All you have to be is guilty of one of them. Covetous. Anybody covetous? Boasters. I'm glad none of us are boasters. Proud. I've been taught my whole life. As a child, well, not my whole life because I learned better. But as a child, I was taught to be proud. Proud. Look at the pride in this country today and look at where the country's going. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Any of these things
makes you a lover of your own self. And verse 5 shows that he's talking about people in the church. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about the unbelievers. He's talking about those who call themselves Christians. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I like the next part. From this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I was sitting in a church one time years ago, and I saw that. And the Lord said, how many men are in this church? And I started counting, about 20. How many women? About 80. Silly women. Men weren't in the church because they knew the church was wrong. The only men there were the ones that the wives made them come. Or there's something wrong with them. But the preacher in that church, oh, he liked to preach and make the women feel good. You know, women, and I know I'm going to make some people mad when I say this. Women are deceivable by nature. A man can deceive a woman and tell her things, and she just think that's the coolest thing in the world and love him. It's true. If it weren't so, none of us guys would ever get a wife. We got to con the dickens out of them to get them. But somebody fails to tell us that you got to continue the con after you're married, or all hell breaks loose. I like God's way of doing it. Be a man of God, be a woman of God, walk with God, and be a brother and sister until God puts you together, and then you can be married, man and wife, and you don't have to run a con on either side. That's the way I like it. Preachers, when you go out there and you look at your congregation, count the women, count the men. If you've got more women in your church than you got men, you need to get in your closet and find out why. Why aren't the men there? You can't deceive men like you can women. That doesn't mean men can't be deceived. But when it comes to the things of God, men by nature know that something's wrong and they won't go for it. But when they see the truth of God and they see the power of God and they see the absolute certainty of God, they're going to go to it. I know I did. We're in a time right now that's perilous. Things are going on right now in this country and in this world. Bible prophecy coming to pass like crazy. And it's going to be more and more and more important to be standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we've got a convention coming up. I guess it's starting next Monday. Sunday. And I think what the theme is going to be this year is standing strong in the power of the Lord and the power of His might. That's what we got to go for. Every believer in Jesus Christ needs to stand strong in His word and strong in His power and believe it no matter what happens. And be instant in season and out of season to bring forth the word wherever you may be and whatever you're doing. Because you never know who's out there the Lord wants you to minister to. And if your eyes are on him, you'll be ready. If your eyes are on yourself, you won't be ready. Amen? Amen. I'm done. You guys come up and sing a song. Bob, you can close us in prayer.
Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your words. We thank you for today's message. Brand it into each of our hearts, Lord, that we do what your word commands us to do, that we follow the truth, that we can discern the lies that lead us astray. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to see you.